and welcome to Land Parties, episode 165 from the Las Vegas Review Journal, brought to you by Blue Wire. I am your host, Ryan Smith. I know my name. And with me, as always, my fantastic co-host, Lucas Egg. And Lucas, how was your weekend, my friend? What's going on, brother?
My weekend was pretty good, Ryan. We have a little cause for celebration because we won Best Sports Podcast at the third annual Snobby Awards. So, hey, we'll take it. It's always nice to get that kind of recognition. So thank you to everyone who always listens and supports us. Ryan was not there.
I've been tripping all. I just daylight savings time. Let's have a sec. Let's just take a second to talk about it. Is the absolute worst. It completely throws me off. When we fall back, I'm good. It's when we spring forward that it absolutely wrecks me.
Yeah, I hate losing an hour of sleep. That's never good, and it should just end.
Yes. Please end. Dude, it was a fantastic weekend on my end, though. Like, I kept it pretty chill. Obviously, there was a day one raid for Destiny 2. They killed it. Dude, the world's first was done within 2 hours, a little under 2.5 hours, which is incredible to think about, especially for, I think, the last one for Witch Queen. I mean, that one was a good, at least, I want to say, 6 or 7 hours deep before anybody finished it. So I think this one, it seemed like a lot of people enjoyed it. The mechanics weren't as difficult, but context-wise for the story, it gave us more for the story as well. So always cool being able to see it. I haven't had time to run that yet. But the big thing for me was that we got our garage clean. Like, you should see it. I got a weight bench put up. Like, I am, like, I felt good. Like, my body is feeling it. Like, I can feel it in my body that I spent most of yesterday in the garage. Anyway, that's not why you guys are here. Yo, we've got, again, special guest joining us again, Kevin Forsstrom, the director of esports at the HyperX Arena here in Las Vegas. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. How you been, brother?
Thank you for having me. No, I've been great. We've got a lot of really cool projects that we've been working on, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys today about them and other things, too.
No, awesome. Absolutely. Yes. But of course, no, go ahead, Lucas, because we got to get into some gaming news first. And there was, I mean, this is going to be the episode of delays, okay?
It is. We're going to start with the least surprising delay, I think, in the video game world, because I am skeptical that this game will ever come out in the next year or two at this rate. But Starfield is getting a little delay. It was supposed to come out the first half of this year. They released a new kind of quick little trailer that announced that it is now coming September 6th. So, I mean, it's only a couple months, and they need to get this game right. So I guess I am all for that. However, I'm still not sure it's going to come out September 6th. Like, it wouldn't, if, you know, in like 2 months from now, they're like, you know what, November, I would not be surprised at all. And I'm kind of expecting something like that at this point. But Ryan, I want this game to be good. They need this game to be good. If this game is going to be Xbox's big holiday title, they need this game to be good. So we cannot have the usual really raw and rough around the edges release here. This game needs to be a home run for a lot of reasons, both for Bethesda and for Xbox. So I'm glad they're going to take their time. We'll see if it comes out this year. I'm still not 100% convinced it will.
I was going to say, what's the over-under on how many delays it gets before it comes out from here on? What do you think?
See, that's the thing. That's what's kind of surprising to me, too, is that, okay, I understand that. But then if it does go through another round of delays, like, why even put out a date? Why not just be like, hey, it ain't there. We are going back. We're reworking. We're doing things. Because you're absolutely correct. And we've talked about this numerous times. I always feel bad for Bethesda fans because I feel like they got absolutely dogged here with Fallout 76. I didn't even realize that Doom, I think it's Doom Eternal, is also Bethesda, and there was issues with that. One of my favorites, Deathloop, was also, I believe that was Bethesda Arcane, that did that. I thought that was great. That game was
awesome.
Yeah, like they've had some like that. That really is like, yeah, that's the one. But like their main bread and butter of the of just having this this epic RPG and this one that's going to be in space, they've got to hit. And I think too, with them now being under Microsoft, I think this also might be maybe, I don't know, again, this is just me speculating, but maybe, you know, they came in and said, hey, we this needs more polish, this needs more stuff. I'm curious to see, if is there going to be any kind of beta or any kind of testing for the game? Are they all just doing closed testing and then it's going to come out? There's a lot that I really haven't seen from this game that I'd like to see, especially a game that they're saying it's going to come out this year, even though it's supposed to come out earlier this year. Now they're saying it's coming out later this year. I don't know. I say take their time. I don't even think they need to say a date per se. I think what they need to focus on again is having that great experience that people came to know and love Bethesda for. And they have a great opportunity to do this. Not only that, but then of course, with it being the next generation of consoles and, you know, UE5 and things like that, like I have big high hopes for this on all levels, from the music, the graphics, gameplay, story. It's got a hit. I'm still all in, but I'm like, making me a little nervous here. Is this a game that you would play, Kevin? Is this something that's on your radar, dude?
Yeah, I try not to get myself too like in the hype around some of these kinds of games. Like I think a similar title we briefly discussed earlier was like Destiny, which got a lot of hype like years before the game had even been really shown any gameplay. And then when it came out, I personally wasn't very happy with it. And so I've learned to not like get too into it until the game actually comes out. But then once I'm in, I'm like really in. Like I same thing with like when Elden Ring came out, I didn't care about it until I played it, and then I was like, now I can't wait for the DLC. I think I'll probably do the same thing with Starfield. I'm glad that they are willing to kind of change up their dates or push their dates, because we saw something I think similar with Cyberpunk, where we had an issue with the game fundamentally, as I'm sure we all know. But they kind of stuck to their release window because of kind of like marketing and things like that. There was a lot of stories on how that kind of came to be. And I think if they're willing to push back the date at this point, it's probably a good thing. It means the game's not ready. And that's always a good thing. It just means, is it actually going to be ready by the release window? So I agree with your statement earlier of like, probably shouldn't have even set a date. I think we would have been a lot happier if it came out next year, but it came out perfectly in the way it's supposed to. And in Bethesda fashion, the game's going to have its own fair share of glitches anyway. So,
I will say, I kind of think they put a date on it because I think in people's eyes, if they would just say it's delayed to another unspecified date, that I think that makes people think something seriously is wrong with the game when there might not be. So maybe just from a PR standpoint, having another date means, hey, you know, we're close. We just need a little extra time rather than what our next game is going to say. But I will say this. It does mean there's a potential showdown this fall between Starfield for Xbox and Spider-Man 2, which is supposed to come out this fall for the PS5. Which one of these two games do you gentlemen think is most likely to actually come out this year?
I think Spider-Man's most likely to come out this year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to have to agree with that as well. I mean, again, like you're saying, though, hopefully this is a, hey, we've got some polishing to still do with this. The core mechanics are there. The story is there. We just need to do some polishing. They need a little bit more time. I'm completely cool with that. It becomes a problem, though, for me when they, you know, don't throw me another date after the delay. And then all of a sudden we get closer to that date and be like, just kidding, guys. We're going to need to wait until next year. Q1 next year for sure, though. people are going to start losing interest. They're going to start losing faith. And of course, with it being Bethesda and how their fans, I can't imagine, feel after the last, you know, they've had some misses for sure. You know, it makes me, that would make me a little nervous. I think it's going to be fine, but I think the pressure is definitely on for them. But I do, I would see Spider-Man 2 coming out before this game comes out. And it's, I mean, this holiday season alone is going to be, there are a lot of spicy drops that are going to be coming out too. So the competition is going to be all heated up during that time. The big thing about this though is that this is a day one Game Pass game. So anyone that's got Game Pass will instantly have access to this game on day one, which I think could be huge. Again, another reason why they need to have a strong showing with this game and them saying this is Microsoft and Bethesda moving forward with, you know, with everything. We are moving into the next generation of stuff. Here it is. That's really what I'm hoping to be able to see from this. And you know, again, from the character creator and, you know, to me, the biggest thing is that this story has got to slap. This story has got to slap. And I am a little nervous because it kind of like originally I thought it was going to be more like a No Man's Sky type of deal. I thought it was going to be open world, not open world. I'm sorry, but like massive multiplayer. And I'm kind of glad actually that it's not, because I feel like we've been getting a lot of that. And I feel like there's been a lot of forced trying to make things live service multiplayer, and it just doesn't work. So I'm glad that they went back to the core mechanics of just, hey, we're going to make a good game. It's going to have a good story. It's going to have great gameplay, and it's going to keep you talking about it and wanting more. That's what the real big expectation is from me. But like Kevin was saying, especially nowadays, it is probably best to temper your expectations. Let it come out, and then, you know, at least we have the ability, if you have Game Pass, to play it and not feel that you have to drop extra money or anything, right, to pick it up and then be disappointed and, you know, all that stuff. So I think this is a smart move on their part.
I will say, since they missed 11/11/22 last year, why don't they just get 11/12/23 this year?
You know?
They can take that one to the bank. You don't even have to give me credit for that one, Bethesda.
Lucas over there trying to help him out. but you know what is really not a surprise at all in terms of this is just, man. I'm having a tough one with this one. Suicide Squad kills Justice League. I mean, I feel like this is like Warner Brothers and the DC IPs, man. I have a hard time. They seem to be having a hard time. The biggest thing for me, I know people, this game was delayed last year. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, it was supposed to come out and we were talking about it, and then they pushed it back, probably for the best. They recently showed gameplay and stuff, and it absolutely got obliterated by fans. People said, oh, nay. Biggest thing, speaking of live service games, that's what this is a live service co-op game. This is giving me Avengers feel, but worse, because there's no plan. Like, I don't even think there's a plan to bring new characters. I don't know why you make this a live service game. It doesn't make sense to me. Clearly the fans said, no, dude, what are you doing? And they're having to stop now, go back. And I don't even know how do you rework? How do you, like, they've got to be so far into development. And, you know, they had this plan. They see that the fans are like, nah, like, like, what is this? Like, I was watching it, and just, you know what it gave me feelings of? It gave me feelings of Anthem. And if you know me, yeah, I said it, dude. I said it and I'll say it again. That's exactly what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a bunch of flying around, shooting guns, and it feels, or from looks, I can't say it feels because I haven't played it, but it looks a lot like Anthem to me, going around doing things, but in a world, in an environment. And that game, what number one, was super, had a super uncompelling story. The flight and the gameplay of it was amazing, but that game wasn't even really a game. You know what I mean? That was more of like I don't know what it was, but I feel very strongly about Anthem, and this game gives me Anthem vibes. So
okay.
For me, I'm just like, ooh, that's a hard pass.
I do have a solution, and that is to let Rocksteady just make another Arkham game. Like let them make it a proper Batman game. But please, there's a lot that worry me about what we saw. I mean, first of all, why was everyone just shooting guns? Like, we didn't actually see,
that doesn't make sense.
In my mind, like, playing these different characters who would be wildly different play styles with different powers. But according to this, it doesn't really look like we get much of that. We're shooting purple blobs, and that doesn't, like, sound like super great. Like, so I am not surprised. Like, honestly, in recent memory, it kind of reminds me when they did that Halo showcase and fans were like, nope. And they're like, okay, the game's being delayed. So the downside is, like, Halo never really recovered from that. You know, right. Halo Infinite never reached the levels that franchise should be reaching. So that doesn't make me confident that whatever the final product of the Suicide Squad is going to be, we'll be able to rescue it from whatever this is that we're seeing. And I think, too, the other thing that it's fighting against is Gotham Knights, fairly or unfairly, didn't really have a super great reception either. So now, right, all of a sudden, this doesn't look like it's going to change the narrative. So what looked like a pretty strong 1-2 punch kind of looks like it's fizzling out on Warner Brothers right now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Kevin, is this, and I know you said you are more of a wait and see how things play out, and then maybe you'll pick it up or whatever. Is this a game that you would pick up? Are you into DC games? And what are your thoughts on the fact that it is supposed to be basically a live service co-op game?
No, I haven't been super impressed with how the DC universe has been handled over the last, like, honestly, like 15 years. I just have never really been, like, I was never like a comic book kid growing up. I'm definitely a Marvel movie. That's where I started kind of getting into all that stuff. And I don't, like, love the Marvel movies as much as I used to anymore. But in general, like, I don't have any, like, crazy attachment to these characters. But it seems like the story that this game would facilitate is very interesting. I like the idea. It's very unique. But it feels like they took this story and kind of pasted it over a pre-existing model for a different game. Knowing Rocksteady has done, like, the Arkham series, like, they probably did develop it from ground up, but it kind of just feels like they already have been working on this. Like, the mobs, the bad guys, are all very generic, nothing. They're not exciting to look at. Like, this trailer's cool. Like, this is the part that gets people excited, but how often is this actually going to happen in the game? Lucas mentioned the whole, like, they're just all shooting guns. Like, these aren't these characters, really. Like, some of them, sure, but not, like, it doesn't feel very true to their source material as much as I think everybody would like. And that's what makes these characters interesting and intriguing in the first place. I like the dark aspect of it. I think that's really cool. It's something that Marvel's never done, at least successfully, in my opinion. So I like seeing this. Like, this is a cool idea for a game in terms of what they could have done, but they've opted to go for this kind of, like, live service model that I know was getting a lot of critique for just being kind of like the loot system being a Destiny clone, similar to the Hogwarts Legacy, having the kind of, like, generic loot system that Destiny kind of brought out. I don't know if it's, like, even, I haven't played that game either, but just in general, like, I saw, like, a lot of that kind of getting built up. I'm not sure. Like, if a franchise like Halo can't swing back in after kind of that kind of reception, I don't know if this is going to be able to do it at all. maybe brand loyalty kicks through. DC's a lot bigger than the Halo franchise as a whole, but I don't think the Suicide Squad has as much brand identity as something like Halo, and that failed.
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct. That those are like a lot of that stuff. I mirror those thoughts. Uninspired enemies. We've seen that before with Marvel's Avengers and all the robots. Like, not only do I want to be able to have an attachment to the characters that I'm playing, but also some sort of attachment to the people that we're going against. There's got to be a reason, and they've got to, you know, I'd like to feel some way about them too. Just having random things. And again, I don't know a lot about what the story is behind this, but just from watching the gameplay, it looks and feels uninspired. I mean, this is a DC IP. There are so many different ways you can go. I think you're 100% correct in the story idea of, hey, your main superheroes that, you know, have gone, you know, they're on the wrong path, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff, and we're having to use the Suicide Squad to temper these people. You know, which is a great premise, but then looking at this, I'm like, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like I'm watching Anthem? Like, I got a problem with that so bad. And it's just, I don't know what's going on with WB. They just, DC has just, it's been all over the place now for years. And I really wish that we can, and you know, with they've made their changes, guns over there running things and whatnot. So hopefully we're able to get some cohesion between the films, what's going on, and everything not just being rebooted. Why are there so many Batmans? Why are there so many Supermans? Why? Like, I just want one cohesive story. Like, it's there, the source material, and there's a ton of source material to pull from. I don't understand the struggles with DC, and it seems, you know, again, that there's going to be struggles with this. And I think this was just bad. It was just a bad idea. I think and we all know too, or I think a lot of us that have played MMOs, that have played looter shooters, and especially live service games, they usually start out rough. It usually takes them years to finally start hitting a rhythm. People like you were saying, again, I go back to Destiny as well. Destiny 1 was trash. Dude, like, wait, hold on. Destiny 1 started out kind of as trash. There wasn't a lot to do, like, once you got through endgame stuff and whatnot, but it got better. By Taken King, like, Taken King was the sweet spot. Then they started Destiny 2, and then Destiny 2, like, by the time Curse of Osiris came, I swore off Bungie. I said, I'm not giving them any more money. I'm sick of you. and then I ended up coming back, of course.
They always get you back in.
They always get you back in. But they made those changes, and it had gotten good again. But for me, the thing that really brings me back, not only just being able to play with friends and raiding and stuff like that, it's a story. This is a story that's been going down for literally almost 10 years now. 10 years next year, the final shape, the final iteration between light and darkness. Something that's going to, you know, again, the story is absolutely amazing, what they've done with it and how they've brought it back up. But this, to me, seems like it is not only going to come out the gate as a struggle, but it will struggle throughout. And I feel like gamers are way less patient now than they have been. They don't even have to be. There's so many games out. There's so much good stuff out there. If you're not willing to come with that fire right out the gate, you are going to have problems, as we saw with Halo and so many other games that just didn't have it out the gate. And gamers said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and move on to this other game that works properly.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for this game. I am nervous for this game.
If this game comes out later this year and it's not good, I mean, just look at its potential competition. Okay, assuming Starfield actually hits its September release date, assuming Spider-Man comes out this fall, you know, then you also have Breath of the Wild for the Switch. I mean, mm-hmm. the competition's coming out with such high-level games that this game's just going to get buried if it's not good. And it's probably already in danger, even if it does turn out to be good, of getting buried just because of this first impression that it's making. Warner Brothers, I do have a solution for you, though. Ditch DC for a little bit and give us the Matrix game that you were teasing. That's it. That's the solution. I'll buy. You'll have one person there pre-ordering whatever ridiculously expensive collector's edition you come out with. So it's worth it, right? Come on.
The man's ready to give up his wallet. He said, you can have it. You can have it. Just give me the Matrix.
I still, you know what, Warner Brothers, if you don't, I will never forgive you guys. You cannot come out with that tech demo and then just be like, nope, we're done. So you know what? Maybe you guys deserve some of this, this madness you have to deal with.
That is spicy. Yo, let's take a quick commercial break. We're gonna come back, speak with Kevin, see what they've got going on. Stick around, y'all. We'll be right back. If you love listening to us here on LAN Parties, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team or game, then make your voice heard and hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to the short messages. And now comes the real fun part of the episode. And first of all, Kevin, I think a happy anniversary to everyone at the arena is in order. Big one this year, the fifth anniversary. Oh, my goodness. Time flies. And let's just talk about the festivities, because there's a big old giant event happening this Saturday that people can take part in.
Yeah. I mean, thank you so much from me and I think everyone else at the arena. It's a big one for us. I just hit my 5 years here at the arena in February because we opened up in March, but started in February. And it was kind of a big passion project to kind of get something out there. I love what I do. I love where I work. I love my coworkers. And we wanted to kind of go and throw a big kind of festival of games, I guess, to put it no other way. We're going to be doing 16 tournaments all in one day, starting at like 4 o'clock is the first tournament. Last tournament starts at 7. So we're going to be open till about like midnight. We're going to have music. We're going to be doing some free drinks and free tournaments, over $3,000 in prizing. It's going to be a good time.
It sounds crazy in the best way possible. I can't even imagine what the energy is going to feel like with 16 tournaments going on. Why was it important for you guys to throw an event like this, have this kind of festival of games and give people a chance to celebrate and mark what's been a fun and an eventful 5 years for you guys?
Well, we finally started to, I think, hit our stride and like building up the community. I've tried to be very transparent with a lot of our community members. I feel like I've built up a pretty good rapport. And if you are listening and don't think so, then come talk to me and I'm sure we can change your mind. But I think a big part of it is we originally, when we started thinking, what can we do for the 5 year anniversary? I was kind of like, I kind of don't really want to do a whole lot. I want to invite all my old coworkers out. I want to come out, have it be like a party for me and my coworkers, right? Like, but then I was like, you know, we got to do something more so. So we were like, throw that idea out. Kevin isn't going to do nothing. Kevin's going to do a lot, and we're going to do 16 tournaments in one day. Originally, it was 19.
Ooh.
And then, like, my boss was like, maybe cut some for just your sanity. And I was like, okay, fine. I was like, it would work. I looked at the layout. Everything would work. I think we could do more. I think we could do, like, 20-something, but this is a good testing ground.
That must
be. Sorry, I was going to say that is a really good testing ground. What games do you guys plan on do running tournaments for? And I'm guessing too that you're going to be starting. I mean, you're going to be hitting that. That's definitely going to be an all day event. Tell us what games and how do folks sign up and whatnot?
Yeah, so you can sign up at Bit.ly. Hold on, I'm going to pull up the link for myself because it's Bit.ly HXALV5YEARS. That is going to be the link you can go to register. You will need to register if you're trying to get your drink tickets as well, but you don't have to sign up for a tournament. There is a spectator pass, but we are doing so many games. We're doing Smash Ultimate, Melee, League of Legends 1v1s. We're doing Valorant Swift Play. We're doing Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom for the first time ever.
Nice.
We're doing Multiverses, Tekken 7, Halo Infinite 2v2s, Guilty Gear Strive, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe 2v2v2v2v2. I don't know how many twos I gave. Mortal Kombat 11, Switch Sports, Fortnite, and Water Pong. They're all some games that we've done in the past. We want to kind of like do a love letter to a lot of our communities. Some communities don't quite make it in just due to the space and timing, but we do plan on doing some cool stuff for them in the future. And these are all free entry, by the way. Anybody can compete. They're all about like $150 prize pool. Some are a little higher depending on kind of the scale of them. But yeah,
that is awesome. And five, not only that, you know, it's been 5 years, but clearly we also went through the pandemic too, which was a really challenging time for so many different businesses. What would you say that you guys kind of learned and took away from that experience? And how do you guys apply it now that we are back and we're having events and doing all that stuff?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think like one of the last times I spoke with you guys was kind of, or I think the first time I spoke with you guys was right before or right after the pandemic. Everything kind of, we moved all of our production equipment into my living room. We were running things online. And that was kind of like a very interesting and unique experience. And we kind of got very close with a lot of the communities that we were running those events for. And I think that helped a lot. We definitely have taken a different approach. We've kind of stopped doing so much online stuff and really focused on bringing together like the in-person experience. We did just do our very first like $10,000 Valorant tournament just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And that was a really huge success. We had 32 teams come out. It was a 3-day event. And we had over like 300 plus people kind of come out and like support. And that was an awesome experience. And we're looking to do a lot more of those. That is my goal is I want to do next year. I'm trying to do like one a month on that scale. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see if I can make that. That's a tough ask, but I believe we can do it.
I like that. You know, through these 5 years, there's been a lot of highlights at the arena. Do you have a couple of moments that have stuck out that you view as either as your favorites or as kind of important milestones for the arena?
I'm sure there's so many that I could be using as an example. I'm a very sentimental person, so it's a lot of the stuff that I kind of consider are things that I did with my amazing coworkers. We've worked on awesome things like crew battles with our community members where we developed really cool content that really highlights what makes our community so fun. I think some of those are like the ones that stand out, getting the chance to work with such amazing people who are just as passionate as I am about like building something bigger than ourselves is really what I love about my job in the arena. There's obvious standouts in terms of like events, like the Spike Drop Operation Vegas, Edgeguard 2. Those are big events that we ourselves put on that I'm very proud of. But we've also done things like the Ludwig Smash Invitational, which we were really big hands-on in terms of making sure that that was a success. We did Ninja versus Mr. Beast, League of Legends show match kind of thing. That one was really awesome. We did Ninja Vegas back in the day. That one's probably going to be forever and always the most iconic event that we've ever done. Still get people say, is this where Ninja played Fortnite? And it's like, yep, it is. Is this where Ninja sat? Is this the chair? And it's just like, it could be.
That might be the chair.
Might be. It's actually not, but I mean, he's been here since then. He may have sat in that seat after that. So right? He might be sitting in the right chair. I should start labeling it.
You should. Ninja you should, chair. Right? Just have like a piece of tape on the back that says Ninja was here.
Ninja was here.
You know, kind of on the flip side there, as you guys have kind of evolved and changed, what's been some of the biggest challenges in keeping this arena current with the community and up to date with what the community's needs are and making sure you're offering what both tourists and locals are expecting from you?
That is such a good and difficult question at the same time. My team itself is very small. It is me and one other person at the moment. And we're kind of responsible for managing all of the community like interactions, right? From Twitter complaints to like people coming to us and saying, this is what I'd like this to be. But that's like a big part of like what we get excited about is making these changes and making always trying to stay up to date and current. There are definitely times where one tournament may not be my focus at that given time. And maybe some people feel a little like maybe underserviced because they go, well, Kevin, I don't see Kevin around. It's like, well, because Kevin's working on other stuff. But it's not that I forget. It's that like if things are running smoothly, then I'm trying to work on developing other projects. Right.
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 Well, we always have like feedback and like things that we're always like looking to change. I'm always finding people say stuff on Twitter and I just go, why aren't you telling me this in person? Cause I really want to make sure that we're staying up to date and current with all these things. And, My goal is this year to try to give some love to some communities that we maybe haven't ever done or things that have been underserviced in the past. We've never done like a Dota 2 tournament and I'd like to try it just because I know that like that's got a pretty diehard community. And really my focus is on community events is we do guaranteed prize pools and for some games they're bigger than others. But my focus is I want to develop community members before I like the people who are there for the money will come when the money's there.
Right.
I want to work with the people who are actually like diehard, like fans of what they do and work with them to develop what is a cool event from the very start. And that's like a big passion of mine. We've been doing it with the Pokemon VGC tournaments right now. We've been having like steady increase in new recruits coming out and joining the Discord and getting involved. And I think that's really the strategy we'd like to approach a lot of these events with is finding ways to just get people invested. And then we take that and say, now I have really cool ideas to elevate it. Like now we can go through and do a spike drop Operation Vegas style thing, the 10,000, right? Because we have a fundamental community and we're going to say, now we're taking this small built out thing and develop it into either a long series, like a league or like a large scale event. We're working on one internally. It's been on the back burner. I really would like to try to get it out there, but one for Pokemon where I want it to be scaling over a couple weeks. We have our top 8 PR players be like gym leaders and represent, and then we do something really cool, fancy show like because that's
cool.
That's one of our benefits that we get to have things like the show element.
Right.
But it's really hard to justify some of the show elements if there's no community to back it, and if we have no real understanding of who's actually out there, who's there to come to these events, and so. If you're hearing this and are interested in running a tournament or an event at the arena, I'm always willing to work with different communities. If you want to do a Destiny 2 tournament, we can talk. I just need some help because I don't play that game. I need your help on that, right? So that's kind of the big part is that we're really excited and to continue to work and develop things. And I'm excited to be building my team to develop cool projects for the community. Like, we build these for you. They're not for me, right? I don't I don't play Destiny. Why would I care how the tournaments run? It's how you guys want the tournament to be run that really, really matters to me.
I love that too. And I have seen you directly on Twitter, you know, people reaching out to you, speaking to you about different things, whether it be a complaint about something or whatever. I think it's super important to be able to have that level of communication, especially on a local level. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of they're missing that. It's how much community management and working with the community that you guys are doing to bring events that folks out in the community are going to do. Because again, like you're saying, if you don't have a community, then you're just throwing tournaments or whatever, you know, people will come or whatever. But more so being able to build out that Las Vegas gaming scene, and the fact that you guys are open to, hey, sit down and let's talk. We've never done this. Let's figure out how to do this. Let's go out and do that. You got my brain all moving. I was like, that's something I've never even considered myself would be doing something like that. But I know the communities here. I know several people that are very heavily into Destiny 2, or, you know, I'm just using that as an example that would look to do that. So I think that's really cool that you guys have that open ear and are like, hey, how do we make this happen? And just building out that community. I would say, you know, you guys have done a ton in the last 5 years. What do you think, or what are some of your hopes, just as an organization, for the next 5 years in just kind of kicking up even more notch?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we're looking to do more of these like large scale events. So more ways to kind of operate at a high level, giving people a higher level experience, whether that's a bigger show aspect or if that's just a bigger competitive pool, right? Some players are just looking for better competition to play against rather than just like winning all the time or playing the same people, right? Coming and some people just want to come as like a spectator. Like, I'm a casual player, but I want to play. I want to watch the best come out here and compete. I want us to be the center of those kinds of activities going forward. And also, I think like we're pushing very heavily towards a content focus on a lot of what we do. And a big part of what develops this kind of content is how we fundamentally look at what we're giving our players. We just launched our Wannabe series with the Yankees Yes Network, which featured a bunch of different like local players and professional players to come out and kind of like talk a little bit about their dreams, their aspirations, and kind of putting the player and our community at the forefront of those kinds of projects. And I want to develop even more than that. I want people to come to us because we provide a unique experience that they can't get anywhere else. I hear the whole, well, there's no venue like this, right? I've been at this venue now for 5 years, so I've already lost that majesty, right? So for me, it's like, I don't even look at that as like a qualifier. So I need to look at other opportunities to actually be driving people to these kinds of events and providing that additional value. Whether that's like, we did some amazing hype videos for our Valorant teams who made top four that were like really just kind of like a showcase of their personality and making them feel cool. I think they took those videos and we're really excited about it. We see them standing at the bottom of the stage with their phone, looking up at the screen, trying to record it because they're excited to show themselves off. And we want to facilitate more opportunities like that, as well as other ventures too. We still do a bunch of amazing client events with TwitchCon later this year. We're definitely looking to see what we can do on our end. Evo this year, we have some ideas on some stuff we want to do, and we're looking to partner with some people as well. So there's a lot of great opportunities, and Vegas is only getting started, I think, in the esports and gaming sphere. And it's just about how we capitalize on.
I was about to ask you about that. You know, we've seen the city host now a variety of gaming related events, from kind of more traditional conventions to bigger tournaments, the esports awards coming out here. So now these events are kind of starting to come out up and down the strip. I know that the arena hosts a ton of great stuff, you know, whether it's the kickoff party for Level Up, that watch party for League of Legends a little bit ago. So the variety of events there is always great to see. When you see the city start to attract a wide variety of esports events, how is it to kind of work and team up with these events to maybe have, you know, to be a part of that, to help, you know, these events not just be in one property, but help it become like a multi-property experience, a la some of the bigger conventions that we see here do that already?
We've done it a couple times. So like, as you mentioned, Level Up Expo and their parties, we've done those for the last few years. We've done things like bar fights, which was one of the events that we did prior to Evo 2019 and I think 2018. I don't remember. But we've done stuff like that where it's like we work together with either potential clients or sponsors, partners, or other events. But I'm always looking to do more stuff like that. There's a lot of big events coming here. We'd love to continue to like activate on the side and draw more value. I'm a fundamental believer that like Vegas is like, at least since I was in college, right? Vegas wanted to be the city for esports. They wanted this to be a place where people would come out here and really experience this stuff. But realistically, and this isn't to knock anyone or any other properties that have made an attempt to try this, but we've been the only one that's been here and staying here. And I fundamentally think that if Vegas is to succeed as an esports center, there needs to be more things to do here. It needs to be an esports destination. It can't just be us. It needs to be other things. We provide a lot of community support, but like there's a bunch of other studios and things like that, but it's got to be something that people can attend. Whether that means that they're booking a major here every other week at like the Allegiant Stadium or whatever, right? Like, I don't know what it is yet. But it's like, I've been a big proponent of like, there needs to be multiple venues that facilitate similar kinds of entertainment so people can come. And if nobody ever comes to my venue because they're going other places too, that's fine. The point is that like, I want Vegas to succeed as an esports city. I was born and raised here. I'm a big proponent of our city, and I think it can be something great. It's just more people need to, I think, get in there if that is the goal. And I think we are excited for the next 5 years, and I hope we see some more people come out here and we can work together to build like really good programming. I want to work together with Velocity just opening up. I'd love to work with them on figuring out ways to provide more value to our community and the people who come out to Vegas, because ultimately it's about, again, it's about community. It's about you guys. And in regards to like tourists, like we do have to navigate some of the stuff to make things more pleasing for them as well. Mm-hmm. But like, That's just a part of things. That just happens. So it's not I got distracted.
You're fine. It kind of sounds like
I think I ate the chocolate for my girlfriend.
it sounds like there kind of needs to be a shift in thinking, where I think sometimes Vegas can think of like, kind of fall back on, oh, who doesn't want to come to Vegas? Rather than saying we need to be more aggressive in finding those big events to get these gamers to come to Vegas, rather than just kind of falling back on, hey, it's Vegas, plus you can game a little bit, but
right.
Putting games front and center rather than relying on our name.
100%. I think a big part of it is while like, the gaming demographic is huge, I think the actual competitor demographic is small.
Right.
People who actually want to compete at a high level are not necessarily the same people who are going to come out here to Las Vegas. So there needs to be experiences for people who just want to experience what it is to watch high level gaming and watch high level like esports and feel like they're maybe a part of it, but not necessarily feel like they have to be in like tough competition. And I think that's like something like we experienced with the Spike Drop Operation Vegas, where it's like we sold out all of our player spots, but we probably underserved the spectator experience. And that was like the thing that I think we needed to nail more, is give them a reason to want to come out and experience Las Vegas as a spectator, give them opportunities to really like experience the city, work with different partners to provide more opportunities for them to have a good time in Vegas while they're here.
And I think you made a great point too, in terms of, and that's one thing that I've really noticed about out here in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas gaming community, is that there's so many different sectors and people, organizations that are collaborating for that common goal, making Las Vegas a hub for gaming and esports. Not just, hey, you can also do this here, but hey, the reason I'm coming out to Vegas is because they've got, you know, fire, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going in the video game sector, and they've got this and that going on. So that's something that I'm very appreciative of. A lot of the organizations out here in Las Vegas, within the gaming sector, you know, we're all talking and trying to figure out, hey, what can we do? What, you know, this and that. So I think it's a really tight knit community. I love seeing that and the things that people have going on in the direction that we are going. We know that CEC just finished up here. What was that, like last week or a couple of weeks ago? So that's the
Casino Esports Conference.
Thank you. So that just finished up, which I think is also going to play a big part in people, you know, wanting and really starting to connect with the players, like you're saying, trying to do things where we're highlighting players and creating these characters and stuff like that. So all this stuff is all intertwining and coming together, and I'm loving the direction that it's going in terms of that and what you guys have going on. Again, it is 5 years celebrating this Saturday, correct? Or based?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
It will be on that day. Yep.
Yeah, give us the details again. If folks want to come out, that's this coming up weekend.
Yep, March 18th, this Saturday. Tournaments start at 4:00. We're going to be doing a bunch of different games. You can absolutely come out and celebrate. You don't have to compete. We're going to have some free gameplay once some of the tournaments end. But for the most part, yeah, it's going to start. Doors open at 3:00. Tournaments start at 4:00. We have another set of tournaments that start at 7:00. You can compete in up to 2 tournaments. So come hang out and have a good time.
It's going to be awesome. Kevin, again, thank you so much for joining us, being a part of the show. We really appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. I always love being on.
Absolutely. Lucas, I know it's going to be another busy weekend.
It is, but we'll take it. You know, I had kind of a weekend to relax, so I'm ready to get right back into it. Other than all the festivities going on, just I probably should do some cleaning too, right? I don't know. Thanks for bringing up the garage. I don't know.
See, that's what I was like, that was like, this is the first weekend that I didn't have anything either day. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to get this garage knocked out because I am sick of looking at it.
non-gaming related, I'm going to start marching through the John Wick movies to prep for John Wick Chapter 4. And if anybody has like any connection to Keanu Reeves, we want him on the show.
Yes.
I want him on the show. I may not be able to function properly, but that's okay. Keanu, we need you in person. This one can't be digital. What about you, Ryan?
just come over to Lucas's house. We'll get it all figured out. Trust me. like you said, there's events going on. I'll be out there this weekend. I know that also too, there is the there's a charity stream.
There is this weekend. Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to pull it up real quick and I keep spacing on the name because I'm terrible. But it is. I'm about to pull it up here in a second. It is the Samurai for St. Jude. It starts on Friday and we'll be running. Actually, I could pull it up real quick. And we'll be running this weekend as well. So if you have time to be able to donate, there'll be a lot of folks from different organizations out here. Of course, Shogunate, Inferno, Nevada Esports Education League, Buddies for Charity, Silver State Esports, and Storm Rush Gaming are putting that on as well. So that'll be a good time. I'm always I know that they're going to have an event. as well, an in-person event. And I believe I'm streaming for that on Saturday as well. So that should be a good time. Lots of stuff. And of course, raising money for a great cause.
Ryan, you sounded unsure about that.
He hasn't quite locked in his time slot.
I did lock in my time slot. It's just been, look, I will tell you, every time we have to spring forward from daylight saving time, the Monday after, I am just a wreck. I think I'm going to go back to bed and I'm going to try again. Anyway, we hope you guys are having a better Monday or week in general than I am. Thank you so much for joining us again. Don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at Land Parties Pod, at Lucas Hagen, or at Smitty2447. Again, we hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week. Don't forget, check out all the events. There's a ton going on this weekend at the HyperX Arena, stream-wise, all that good stuff. Thank you guys again so much for joining us, and we appreciate and are honored for the Snobby Award as well for Best Sports Podcast. Thank you guys so much. Have an amazing rest of your week, and you know what it is. We love your faces.